Well, then we'll continue our study over in Romans chapter 10. And we looked again as Paul's been speaking of the call of the Gentiles. And Paul, as a Jew whose call is the apostle to the Gentiles, his concern for them, his concern for his own people, the Jews, and as he speaks how they should understand some of these things, for this call of the Gentiles, that God would have a people amongst the Gentiles, was prophesied in Scriptures. And as we continue on here in chapter 10, we'll see as Paul sets forth, the Jews ought to have known these things. They ought to have understood these things. And that because of the call to the Gentiles, it must needs be that the gospel be sent unto them. As we saw in verse 15 where we finished last week, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Again, the beautiful feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. It's a proclamation they're sent as messengers. Not speaking of their flowery language or their great oratory or their wonderful abilities, but the emphasis on their feet. They go as messengers. Paul continues with this, speaking of the gospel as it goes to the Jew and the Gentile. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? They've not all obeyed the gospel. And again, that's a word that we may not always think of in relation to the gospel, the matter of being obeyed. But there's an interesting study concerning that word obeyed, at least as I looked at it. It was interesting to me. That word obeyed comes from the same Greek word of hear or akouo. And it's a hupakouo, which means literally to hear under. Hypo or hypoakouo, to hear under. And it refers to hearing as being under another, or hearing as being under the authority of another. And that's why it's here translated obeyed. For you see, they all hear the gospel with the natural ear. They all akouo the gospel. But not all hupakouo the gospel. Hear it as a command. Hear it as one who's under the authority of the Lord. And so as we've said, the gospel is not an offer, but it's a proclamation. And more so, more specifically, the gospel to those whom it's intended for is an order. And it's something to be obeyed. They hupakouo it. They hear it as one who are under the authority or under the command of another. They hear it as a command of their Lord and their Master and their Shepherd. Again, as the Lord talked to some of His detractors when He said, but you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Those for whom it's intended hear it as a command from their Lord, as a command from their Master, as a command from their Shepherd. Over in Hebrews, Paul says this in Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, it's the same gospel, and it's preached to some with profit, and it's to others it's preached and without profit. And it's because in one it's mixed with faith, that God implanted faith, and in the others it's not. And that's the distinguishing things. In one it's heard as an order from their commander, and the other, you know, it's heard as foolishness and a stumbling block. And so, not only is the gospel not an order, but a proclamation, I mean, not an offer, but a proclamation, it is an order that's to be obeyed by those who are under the command of Christ, who are under His authority, those who are His people, those who are His sheep, those who are His, if you will, His legion. I got to thinking of this. I sometimes come up with illustrations and things that help me understand things. I'm not sure that they're always perfect illustrations. But, you know, I kind of thought of the, you know, during World War II, you had the partisan forces over in France and other places, and England would broadcast radio messages. And there would be things in those messages that were intended for the partisans. And everybody would hear those messages, but not everybody would understand them, and not everybody would receive them as commands. You know, they'd be in the middle of a radio station report, they'd say a bunch of things, you know, like they'd say, you know, the goat is on the roof. Or they'd say, and you know, that the chicken is in the pen, and they make up a lot of things that would make no sense to anyone else. They would hear them, but they made no sense to them. But those for whom it was intended, they received them as an order to act or to do something. And it's similar to what the gospel is. You know, it's for those to whom it's intended. They hear it as an order. They hear it hupakuo. They hear it as one under authority, and they obey. In Hebrews, Paul says this, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, "And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." They obey because they are His. Because what they hear is mixed with faith, that God implanted faith. And so whether the gospel is simply a kuo, you know, heard with the natural ears, a hupakuo, heard as a command, is not dependent upon our methodology. It's not dependent upon how persuasive, you know, that I can be, or what kind of psychological manipulation I might be able to employ. But it's dependent solely upon the work of the Spirit. For He's the one who truly and ultimately makes the difference. He and He alone. As Paul says over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" What makes us differ from another? It's the work of God. It's not because we had a persuasive preacher, or because, you know, we had our own great understanding. And so it is Paul speaking here, and the necessity of sending out the gospel to the Gentiles, and the necessity that it be done appropriately and rightly. But though they be sent, you know, with authority, and though they rightly deliver the message, the reception of that message is dependent solely upon the power of God. You know, I understand, and I think I understand it more and more as time passes. I can't teach anyone anything, not in the spiritual realm. I can't cause them to believe or to obey the gospel. That's by the appointment of God. And those for whom it's intended, they hear it as an order. To others, it just seems like a silly message. Nonsensical ramblings. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, see, as opposed to those who obey the gospel, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. This is the work of God. And it ought to be marvelous in our sight. And so Paul continues here. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so again, Paul appeals to the Old Testament. He shows that, you know, this is not something new. This is something that Israel should have understood, that the Jews should have understood. God revealed these things to them. Who hath believed our report? The word report there, again, it's Paul uses this the language here, and it's not so obvious as it comes over into English, but the word report there is the noun form of the Greek word akouo, or to hear. Now, who hath believed akoi? Who has believed that the things we speak, if you will? Who hath believed our speakings? And, you know, we think about, you know, the gospel. The Arminian says, appropriately so, you know, it seems like such a simple thing. And it seems like such an appealing thing. So why haven't they all believed? Why haven't they all received? Why don't they all hear with understanding? Because they haven't been appointed unto it, as Peter says. Because they're not his sheep, as the Lord says. Why do they not all receive the gospel as a command from heaven to be obeyed? They're not all citizens of heaven, you see. They're not all partisans, if you go back to my illustration. For they do not all receive it as a command to be obeyed. Because it's not so intended for them. Because they have not been quickened and given eyes to see or ears to hear. Paul speaks of this same thing again over in Hebrews 4 and verse 2 that I alluded to. For unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he hath said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This is all the work of God. He's determined these things. You know, later on, Paul, or in his earlier ministry, Paul meets with the Jewish leaders. And ultimately, he meets with the Jewish leaders in Rome. And we read about it over in Acts 28 and verse 23. It says this, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning unto evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, says Paul, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And so we see those that hear, those that obey the gospel, are shown to be the elect of God. They're shown to be His sheep, whether they be of the Jews or of the Gentiles. So Paul continues with the same idea of hearing the word of God, hearing the gospel as a command from heaven. And so in verse 17 he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So then faith cometh by hearing. Now, faith is realized, faith is exercised in the hearing. You know, the Holy Spirit first brings to the elect of God godly sorrow which worketh repentance. 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, 2 Corinthians 7:10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death." Or the example of the jailer in Acts 16, verse 29. "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" You know, the Holy Spirit works godly sorrow, works repentance. And as we saw, the same as we looked previous weeks in the situation with Peter, as he was sent to preach to Cornelius. Philip sent to preach to the eunuch. You know, faith comes by hearing. Faith is realized in the hearing. Faith is exercised in the hearing. For faith comes as a gift of God, but faith requires an object. You know, we hear silly sayings in the world today. It says, "Well, it don't matter what you believe, just so long as you're sincere." Or it don't matter what you believe, so long as you believe something. Now, faith has to have a proper object. And it's the hearing, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that provides the proper object for the God-given faith and allows that faith to be properly exercised. Jesus Christ is the only object for God-given faith. His completed work for His people. It does matter what you believe. It's not just so long as you're sincere. Well, if you believe, then it doesn't matter what you believe. You know, there's all different roads to heaven. No, faith requires a proper object. Faith comes by hearing. The normal means by which God conveys that object by which His people exercise that faith that He implants in the heart. And thus it is that preachers, whether formal or informal, preachers, the proclaimers of the gospel, if you will, are the ordinary instrument or means by which the elect are brought to faith, or brought to belief, or brought to exercise the God-given faith. Paul writes to the saints in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, he says this, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He calls you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so the gospel that provides the object for the God-given faith calls the elect unto Himself. So then faith comes by hearing, Paul says, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't think the emphasis here is on the written word or on the spoken word by the preacher. In fact, as we look closely at the verse, we see that the word that is here translated word is not the common logos that we might expect, but it's the Greek word rhema, which speaks of an expressed word usually, or an utterance, or a command. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the command of God, or if you will, by the decree of God. It's interesting, as I was studying this a little bit, I know a little bit about the charismatics and the sort of things they get into, but as I was studying this word rhema, and you look it up on the internet, you'll see the charismatics have made great use of this word rhema. In fact, one of the great big charismatic preachers, and I don't remember which one it was now, used to have evidently a radio show or a TV show that was called Rhema. And what they have taken this utterance and command of God and so perverted it to say that, well, now it speaks of, you know, a modern revelation, these utterances that they receive, these revelations that they claim to receive in this day and age, and they've taken that word Rhema and applied it to that. Properly understood, it's referring to God's decree, not some new thing that we're learning in the pop religion or some revelation we get by, you know, ecstatic means. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the command of God. We may see it all. We may hear it all, but apart from the work of the Spirit, apart from the decree, from the command of God, from the Word of God, we hear and we see nothing. And again, this was nothing new that Paul's pointing out here as we continue the study here in Romans. Back in Deuteronomy, verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. I mean, these folks experienced it. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard it with their own ears. But they really heard and saw nothing. They perceived nothing. They simply didn't get it. Prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 5 and verse 20, declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. And it's kind of ironic, again, what Paul's speaking of. He's saying, you know, Israel should have known these things because it's written down in all the prophecies. But by the same token, they couldn't know them. Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 12 and verse 2, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not. For they are a rebellious house. In the Lord's ministry, he again acknowledged these things and pointed back to these things in Matthew 13 and verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed is your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Again, this was nothing new. It's Paul. They said, why doesn't Israel understand? They've been told these things. We proclaim the truth in obedience to God's command, but we can never make men receive it. And so, you know, like Israel, if you will, we shouldn't be dumbfounded. We should know these things. We should understand these things. As Paul says over in 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer in this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, and the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. This is the doing of God. Why haven't they heard? Why haven't they understood? Why haven't they perceived? Over in 2 Corinthians passage, I often appeal to 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, how thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we, unto God, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Amen. You know, so sometimes preachers, it almost seems that even some who claim to be sovereign grace preachers, if you listen to them and you look at their methodology and you look at their motivations, you know, sometimes you would think they say, boy, if only I had a better and a more convincing presentation. If only we had some better methodology. Well, if only, you know, we had a smoother talking preacher. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the command of God. Doesn't come by our presentations, by our methodology. Think of Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man's crying up from hell. He says, send them some better methodology. Send them something with a little more pop. And then they'll believe. You know, I know what. Send them some guy who's raised up from the dead. Then they'll believe. Luke 16, verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also so come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. It'd be hard to find a better presentation than that, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to find a better gimmick than that. If one came back from the dead and preached to them, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But it's the work of God. It's not the messenger. It's not my beautiful lips and my beautiful rhetoric. The messenger may be said to have beautiful feet because he brings that message, but it's from God, and the hearing comes from God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the command of God, by the decree of God. Again, Peter says, I'll close with this thought today, and looking again at this matter of God's written word, and His living word, and His eternal decree. In 1 Peter 1, verse 23, Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, by the Logos, by the living word, by Jesus Christ, by the written word that reveals Him. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, and here it's Rhema, the command, the decree of God, but the word of the Lord, the decree of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word, this is the decree, the Rhema, which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is God's doing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes only by the decree of God, by the command of God, by the eternal will of God. And so Paul continues to set forth here God's work amongst the Jew and the Gentile, the necessity for the gospel to go unto the Gentile. And again, kind of the irony of it all, that Israel really should have understood all this, because it was revealed to them in the Scriptures, and yet they had not eyes to see nor ears to hear. And as Paul continues, we'll see again, and though the Jews reject the gospel, they are inflamed to jealousy when that same gospel is brought to the Gentiles. You know? They rejected it, but it angers them. It inflames their passions when that same gospel that they'll have nothing to do with is brought to the Gentiles. And thus Paul will continue as we look here through Romans. We thank the Lord for His sovereign grace. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. But for that Word, but for that decree, we would all be unhearing. We would all be blind. And may He receive all the praise. May He receive all the glory for what He's done. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 249. Thou hast chosen. Number 249.
Was not that I did choose thee for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse me, but thou hast chosen me. Thou from the sin that stained me, washed me and set me free. And to this end ordained me, that I should live to Thee. The sovereign mercy called me, and thought my own being mine. The world had else enthralled me, to heavenly glories blind. My heart holds none above Thee, for Thy rich grace I thirst. This knowing, if I love Thee, Thou must have loved me first.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the sovereign Lord. Lord, we thank thee that we need not resort to the methods of man, promotions of the flesh. Lord, we thank thee that you will bless your people with hearing. Lord, that you will call your own unto yourself. Lord, I pray that we be faithful in proclaiming your truth, but realizing the reception of it is dependent solely upon thee. Lord, we thank thee for the privilege to set forth our Lord and Savior. And we thank thee for those who are the citizens of heaven will hear and obey. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. Pray for Brother Howe as he's away. Pray you be with us as we gather together next week. Keep us safe until that time, Lord. We pray that you keep us faithful, or that our lives would be such that bring glory unto thee. Lord, again, we thank of our brothers, the ministry of our sister churches, of our sisters and brothers in Christ. Lord, we thank of these to our own eyes, difficult times in which we live. And yet, Lord, we realize that your grace is sufficient for all, that all things are working together for the good of your people. Father, may we go forth and